And I believe Misty was going to be the next speaker and kind of explain the materials that she placed in the for the paper.
Sure. With respect to the district icogram that we updated and included in the course binder, it gives you a side-by-side analysis of the variety of different tools available. The districts that Tripp discussed, a MUD, freshwater supply district, a WCNID. It also includes MMDs, PIDs, tax increment reinvestment zones. From a developer seat at the table, it's often the case that the most important thing to you is a willing public partner and the support of your local community. Some communities support PIDs, others do not. When you have no support, you have to look at the tools available in the toolkit. And one of the tools that we see more and more frequently used in the new era of limited annexation by cities is ad valorem-based taxing districts, with MUDs being more favored than others because in the 2019 legislative session, MUDs picked up road powers that they didn't have before 2019 without special legislation. So when we think about the tools in the toolkit and the pros and cons of using PIDs and other financing tools, Tripp is absolutely right that it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario, but you have to look at the public-private partnership aspect of those tools and whether or not a city will support a PID and the control mechanics associated with that, particularly over multi-phase projects. We all know that legislative acts like creating PIDs, issuing debt, supporting districts are all subject to discretion. And if you don't have a willing partner, the fact that a PID might be a favored tool may not be helpful to the developer.
And I believe next we have Jason that's going to be speaking to these special financing districts from the financial advisor perspective.
Certainly. Well, thank you, Dottie. One of the things, let me give a little bit of background about myself. So I've been a financial advisor. I only work with cities and counties, municipalities. So that's my seat at the table. One of the things that I think will be very interesting is, had we had this call a month and a half ago at the start of March, I would have had a much different tone. But I think one of the things that you will start to see, and we are already starting to see, are cities that are specifically looking at shortages, whether that's on the sales tax side, whether that is concern regarding taxable assessed valuations coming up. And I think not so much for fiscal year 2021, but from what I understand, fiscal year 2022 could be pretty devastating. And I was talking with one of my clients here in the Metroplex. It's kind of interesting that their March sales taxes were down 30%. They expect April to be down 60%, May to be down 60%. And just to kind of give some context to that, 28% of their general fund budget is made up of sales taxes. So again, you sit and think about that. You think about the fact that if there are large scale protests that could further drive down tax values, I think there will be or will be a lot of pressure on cities throughout the state and certainly across the nation. So Tripp talked a little bit about, again, those incentives that are provided. And I think this is one area that cities will look at to, as much as possible, try and keep more of those dollars within their own coffers.
And now we have Julie Ford to talk about some of the PIDs that she's been involved in, special financing districts from the municipal side.
Thank you, Dottie. Jason does make a good point with the financial impacts and how much things have changed over the last few weeks and month or so. I've got a client with a population of about 20,000, and right now they're expecting for this fiscal year budget, they're going to have a $900,000 shortfall from sales taxes, with 45% of that number just being from retail and restaurants. So it certainly had an impact on the city budget. And that does affect the ability to pay for infrastructure, police, fire, EMS, and do a lot of other necessary things for the public. A PID from the city perspective is much easier to manage and have control over. And it doesn't lead to what I call fragmentation, where you've got so many small entities that it makes regionalism, regional water planning, urban sprawl, things like that, harder to manage than if you use a PID, which is more under the city's control. Because as we all know, the police, fire, and EMS services are very expensive. And when you have districts out in the ETJ, then you have citizens within the city having to, they're effectively supplementing the cost for those folks to receive those emergency services. So from the city seat at the table, I do think a PID works better long term. If MUDs actually work the way they were designed, which is to finance infrastructure, sell the bonds, and mature, and ultimately when they're in a city, they shouldn't be needed anymore. But I've been in plenty of fights where once it's citizen controlled, they like having their little board, and they fight being dissolved. And with a PID, you don't have that issue. You can't, the PID can dissolve once all of the debt is paid.